Proverbs 11, verse 20, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. Those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways are His delight. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished, but the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. As a ring of gold and a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. There's one who scatters yet increases more, and there's one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. The people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. He who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. He who troubles his own house will inherit the wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. If the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? And then turn over to the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. His Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm sure he's not alone in pointing this out, but C.S. Lewis makes the point in different places that the most vital resources for our lives are things that actually God has provided for us in abundance, and things that we would pay millions for if we had to, things that we would be willing to give everything for, are really available at little or no cost to us in this world. And you can think of, obviously things like air, things like water, but also even things like our bodies. We really didn't do anything to purchase them. We didn't do anything to acquire them. They were, of course, knit by the Lord in our mother's womb. But, you know, if we didn't have a heart, what would we give to have a heart? And so many of the most valuable resources that we have to have, right, to live in this world are things that are acquired relatively cheaply, or in fact free to us entirely. Well, Proverbs 11 talks to us about how it is that we manage these resources. How is it that we are doing and managing what the Lord has blessed us with the opportunities and the skills and the riches that He has given to us? And of course, it's no surprise to us. In fact, we don't even need the book of Proverbs to teach us that there is both wise and unwise resource management. That there's the opportunity to both squander resources that we're entrusted with, and that there's the opportunity to use them wisely. And of course, Proverbs is instructing us in the path of wisdom, how to use wisely those resources that we've been entrusted with, how to maximize those things that we have been blessed with. This story is told of two men who decided to start up a business, and so they got a truck and drove out and found a farmer who would sell them melons for $1 a piece. So they filled up the back of the truck with melons. They drove them to the side of the road, set up a roadside stand, and they sold the truck of melons for $1 a piece. And they quickly sold out of their melons. They drove back to the field. Asked the farmer if they could buy another load. They agreed on the price again of $1 a piece. So they bought another load of melons, went back to the side of the road and sold their load once again for $1 a piece. One of the men looked at the other man and said, "We're really selling very well, but I have a feeling that we really aren't getting ahead here." The other guy said, "Well, I think I know what you mean. You think we need a bigger truck?" Well, there's unwise stewardship of resources. We can find ourselves mismanaging the opportunities and the things that God has given to us and running in circles. It's often, you know, as much as we chuckle at what the foolishness of those men and their business enterprise, you know, the sad reality is, all too often, we go and pick up the load of melons for $1 a piece and turn around and sell them for $0.25 a piece and think that we're just doing so great with ourselves. We're much more foolish than just to sell things or to use the resources that we have at no gain. At no gain, we actually lose on some of our resources. But this is a passage that calls us to evaluate our use of resources and to use the resources that God's given us to be a blessing to others. And actually what we're going to see is that we're called to be a blessing certainly to others, but also as we do so, we bless ourselves and we bless the Lord as we manage our resources in a wise way. Well, we can start out by saying what we all realize, and that is that each of us has limited resources. And in various ways, at different points in life, you come face to face with your own limitations and resources more or less clearly. Sometimes we come face to face with our financial limitations, and we realize that we can't afford certain things that we would like, or we don't have the money to do things that we would like to be able to do. Sometimes we come face to face with our own intellectual limitations. And we have a lot of intellectual ability. God's blessed us. And yet our intellectual abilities are not limitless, are they? We have limitations of resources in terms of energy. God's given each of us a certain amount of energy. And yet, how many of us by 9 o'clock at night isn't thinking, if I could have a little more energy, or even maybe by 9 in the morning, we're saying, if I had a little more energy. And of course, as a society, we know that we would like more energy. That's why 5-hour energy is such a hot product right now. I saw, when I was in a Walmart this week buying the salad and the pop for the congregational meeting, there's a guy who's just filling up his cart with that 5-hour energy stuff. I don't know, he must be an addict or something, but people, we have a sense that we need more energy. We're limited in our talents. Not all of us can get up here and present. We might wish that we had great voices. We might wish that we had good computer skills, good math skills. We might wish that we knew how to draw like other people know how to draw, or all sorts of other talents and abilities. But the reality is we're all faced with limitations. So no matter what asset you're looking at, no matter what your resource is, as we evaluate them, we realize that they are limited, that we are not infinite people, but that we are finite. But even though we have these limited resources, not only are they limited in terms of what we've been given, but then we can further limit them by wasting them. There's a lot of that actually in this passage of different ways to go about wasting resources. But the primary example of a wasted resource here is what? It's looks. That's the most vivid illustration here of a wasted resource, isn't it? So the beautiful woman who shows no discretion. Maybe it's an attractive woman who has no discretion in the way that she talks, in the way that she relates to others. Some of you, probably more of you have seen the movie than have read the book. Some of you maybe have done both. Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier was turned into an Alfred Hitchcock movie. And the story of Rebecca is of a woman who was beautiful on the outside, and yet was an absolute prickle to her husband, absolutely cold and icy toward her husband. And the difficulties that this created in their relationship, and then after, you actually see it through the eyes of his second wife after Rebecca had died. And this wonderful woman who, anyone who came into contact with her saw that she was beautiful. And yet, to be up close to her, she was a woman who had no discretion with her tongue and the way that she conducted herself. Of course, there are lovely women who are without discretion in the way that they dress and in their sexual behavior as well. And so all of these forms of lovely women without discretion is what's in mind here. And the picture is, and it's really, and we'll look at this as we look at some of the other verses, it's really a picture that applies to the other verses around it as well. But the picture is of a woman who's been given a gift. She's been given a resource by God and yet ruins that resource and wastes it. And this beautiful woman without discretion is compared to what? She's compared to a gold ring. Now we've got to get that, right? That she's not compared to the pig. She's not a pig. She's compared to the gold ring that's put in the snout of the pig. I don't know around here where the closest hog farm is, but there might be a person or two in the congregation who's worked on a hog farm or worked with hogs at some point. In Indiana, in northern Indiana, there are actually a lot of hog farms. And if you're willing, you can often find work on a hog farm because A hog farm is not where a lot of people want to work. But be clear that a hog is inaccurately portrayed by Piglet and by the movie Babe. That's not at all what hogs are like. Hogs are large, filthy, stinking animals. And actually, if you work with them, and you're around people who work with them much, they have no sense of where they are. A mother hog, for instance, a sow, will routinely lay down on her own young, killing them. It's that, you know, there's just no self-awareness, no common sense, no courtesy in the hog world. Another example of some of the difficulties of hogs is farmers who experience, say, like a heart attack in the pen, if they're in the pen feeding the hogs or working with the hogs somehow, unless there's somebody working with them, they will not be found. In other words, the hogs will so destroy the farmer that maybe they'll find the skeleton. Maybe they'll find the skull, but everything else will be devoured within a matter of just a half hour or so. So hogs are filthy, nasty animals. And so part of the picture here is that a gold ring is what? It's out of place. It's not in place on a filthy, dirty animal. It just isn't fitting. Just like the beauty is not fitting for a woman who shows no discretion. She ruins that beauty. And that gold ring does not dress up the sow. It doesn't dress up the pig, does it? It just looks stupid. It's just a waste of resources. In fact, that's another problem with the gold ring and the pig's snout. Is what do pigs do with their snouts? They root around in the barnyard. They dig stuff up with their snouts constantly. Well, you know what? Gold is actually a soft metal. Right when we got home from our honeymoon, the faucet in the house we were renting was dripping. So I had to install a new faucet. And I didn't know enough to take off my wedding ring. And so instantly, by working with tools, my ring got all beat up just by this, you know, all sorts of dings, and I was kind of disappointed that I had done this. Well, that's one time working on one project. Think about for the gold ring and the pig's snout that's rubbed against the rocks and the barnyard that's constantly being rubbed against all sorts of rough objects. It's being destroyed. And in this, so let's go back to our picture here. The woman, the beautiful woman without discretion is, first of all, out of place, right? She's misusing her beauty, and her beauty is being destroyed by the way that she's conducting herself. She's wasting a gift, a resource that's been entrusted to her. Now, looking at the rest of the passage, having that analogy in mind, we see, for instance, verse 20, that those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways are His delight. Those who are perverse waste the opportunity to be a delight to the Lord. They would rather please themselves with their lives than live their life in a way that would be pleasing to God. And so they waste their life. They waste that opportunity to please God. They also, verses 24 and 26, they waste their resources. Look at verse 24. They withhold more than is right. Now, that's an important line, and we're not going to spend a long time on it this morning. But is it appropriate for the wise person to save money? Is it appropriate for you to withhold food and to have a stockpile of food? Yes, it is. That verse says that it's okay to withhold, but there's a withholding that goes beyond what is right. That extends into selfishness. Verse 26, the people will curse him who withholds grain. And so the perverse not only waste their beauty, they not only waste their life, their opportunity to be pleasing to God, but they also waste the resources that God has given them by withholding them and refusing them and refusing to share them with others. Look at verse 29. He also wastes the opportunity to be a blessing to his family, instead choosing to trouble his own house. And what's the result of this? Well, the clear result is that those who are wasting these resources, they can't avoid the punishment that follows. Verse 21, even though they join forces, even though the wicked try to shelter one another from harm, even though they try to group together and form some sort of like an insurance plan together to avoid the day of judgment, they can't do it. Verse 28, he who trusts in his riches will fall. And verse 31, if the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? What's that telling us? That's telling us if the Lord's going to reward, if the Lord's going to reward the righteous in this life, and also if he's going to bring chastisement into the life of the righteous, if we know that he'll do that for the righteous, and we experience the Lord's chastisement sometimes as the righteous, if we know that the Lord chastens us, even though we know he loves us, and has sent his son to die for us, if he'll chasten us, how much more do we know that he'll send difficulty into the life of the ungodly and the sinner? And so resources can be wasted and are wasted. In fact, we read the parable of the talents, right? Resources can be misused, and God does hold people accountable for the resources that he gives to them. Now, the problem is, of course, we can go back and say that we've been given limited resources, and we recognize the limits of our resources, but even with the resources that are limited in our lives, we still waste those resources. We still use our resources in ways that are like putting the ring of gold in the snout of the pig. A waste of perfectly good gold. A foolish use of gold. Trying to dress up a pig. And yet we spend our time, our money, our energy, the resources that God's given to us, pursuing worthless ends as well and wasting them. But thankfully, this passage gives us a picture not only of the judgment that comes on those who waste resources, but also a picture of the redemption that's offered by Christ. I will say, I find it fascinating in talking to different people about the difficulties of preaching through Proverbs, one of the things that I have heard over and over again is people saying, it's hard to find Christ in Proverbs. And I hope you can see that that's just simply not true. To begin with, we've talked time and again about who is the truly wise son, who's the truly wise man. None of us can read these verses and claim to measure up and say, I live out wisdom. Let's look at a couple verses specifically that point us to the wisdom and riches and the management of Christ. Verse Verse 20, those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways are his delight. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished, but the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. Christ is the truly righteous one. And it's through his true righteousness that his household, that his posterity is delivered. In fact, Hebrews 2:13, Christ says, he's quoting from one of the Old Testament prophets, but Christ is saying, here am I and the children whom you have given to me. And it's only through Christ's righteousness that we, his children, are delivered. And so therefore, the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. In that regard, one clear biblical story in that regard is the story of Job. Remember Job getting up day by day and offering sacrifices for his kids as a righteous and just man and saying, I'm offering this if perhaps my children in the midst of their comings and goings throughout life have cursed God or you know, have somehow cursed God in their hearts. And so I'm offering these sacrifices for them. And God spared Job's, even though they died on earth, they were spared eternally. Well, in much the same way, Job is a picture for us of Christ and of how Christ through his righteousness secures our eternal deliverance from death. And so the posterity of the righteous will be delivered and will be delivered by God, and we are delivered through the righteousness of Christ. We can also think of the ruined woman. The ruined woman who's like that gold ring in the pig's snout. And yet, we've just gone through, not too long ago, through the book of Hosea. And we've talked about how the church is a ruined woman. How the people of God are a ruined woman through our idolatry, through our unfaithfulness, through our indiscretions, if you will. And yet, what's Christ in the process of doing? What's his great work? It's redeeming the bride, making the bride new again. And so Christ in his wisdom is and in his expression and resource management, if you will, he is a delight to God. He's a blessing to his offspring. He's a blessing to his neighbor. He's a blessing to our souls, and ultimately even a blessing to himself. As Philippians 2 assures us, that God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. And we're going to see those exact same categories in just a minute as we talk about how we can find blessing and be a blessing when we manage our resources. That we too can be a delight to the Lord and a blessing to our offspring, a blessing to our neighbor, and a blessing to ourselves as well. Well, so through Christ, we are redeemed from a wasted life. And we are called then to the life of wisdom. And to the life of wisdom specifically in managing our resources. And managing our resources by valuing what God values. There are some specific categories then that we find addressed in this passage. First of all, we are called to manage the resource of our life. To guard our heart, to guard our lives. And you have that in verse 20 and 21, for instance. Using our energy to glorify God and to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6:33, and all these things will be added unto you. And so, one of the things that we are called to do as the people of God is to value and to pursue righteousness rather than pleasure. Right? That's the contrast, is perverse heart The heart that does what it wants, it goes its own way, as opposed to the heart that seeks to be blameless, to walk faithfully before God. And the reality is that we misuse our resources a lot in that regard. That our time and energy are not given to pursuing righteousness. That our life focus is not on how do I walk in blamelessness. I think if we looked at our priority list, if we looked at what we're doing, where does holiness rate on your priority list? Above all else, I want to be blameless before God. God's given me the opportunity through Christ to live in righteousness. How much of a priority is that in your life? In addition to valuing righteousness, not pleasure, we're called here, if we're going to value what God values, we need to value caring for our household. Verse 21, the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. I think that we should take, the book of Proverbs is about cause and effect, isn't it? Time and again. And we don't connect our pursuit of the Lord and pursuit of holiness with the impact that it has on our children. I think that that's a distant connection for us, and it's not one that we ponder. But the reality is that there is a connection with whether we take seriously and is our priority glorifying God and enjoying Him and living in holiness and living Christ-like. Because that impacts our children and our children's children after them. And so if we value our family future over our short-term pleasure, that will indicate that we are valuing what God values in our management of our resources. Also, there's clearly a call here, and not only to our relationship to the Lord in righteousness, but also to managing our resources and our relationships with our neighbors. And that if you look at verse 24 and 26, there's a call to generosity, to using the financial and the physical resources that God's given us to share with others, to value people over riches. A negative example of this, the verse that says the people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. Some of you have probably read the Long Winter in the Little House on the Prairie series. And you'll remember in the Long Winter that Almanzo, who's a bachelor farmer, has a store in town. And he's built a wall across the back of where he's living. And he has all of his grain for the spring stored behind this wall. And the Ingalls family, of course, who the story is really tracking, is starving. They don't have enough to eat. And one day somehow, Pa figures out that the room is a little bit shorter than it should be, where Almanzo, he goes and visits sometimes with Almanzo, and he figures out that the room's a little shorter than it ought to be. And so the way I remember the story is he walks over to the wall and pulls out like a cork or a knot or something, and he sticks a pitcher under it and takes home then grain for his family. Almanzo was looking out for his own interests instead of making sure that others in the community would not starve. Well, so we're called to be generous with our physical resources. But notice that it's not just limited to physical resources, because while verses 24 and 26 really focus on physical resources, on the need for generosity with those resources, verse 25 really focuses on the need to be generous with spiritual resources. The generous soul will be made rich. And he who waters will also be watered himself. And then, of course, going down to verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. One of the things, if we value our resources and manage our resources the way that God wants us to, then we're called to invest our resources in the things that God thinks are truly valuable. Right? We've already talked about investing our resources in God, in pursuing righteousness, and in pursuing righteousness to the betterment of our family. And certainly there's physical investment in people. But above all, we're called here to invest spiritually in people. That as much as we might value and want to take care of other people's stomachs and their clothing needs, how much more do we need to have concern for people's spiritual well-being? And really, as we invest in that, of course, as the Sermon on the Mount tells us, we are laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven where they can't be taken away, where we're investing our time and our energy and even our souls themselves, right? If you work with people, if you labor to try to help other people, you know that there's a drain on your own soul. That your own soul gets worn out laboring with others. And so there's an investment of resources there. Obviously, these verses are talking about evangelism. Verse 30, he who wins souls is wise. The person who values the soul of his neighbor and is concerned for what's the eternal outlook for this person's soul is wise. They're valuing what God values. So evangelism is in mind here, but also confronting sin in other people's lives, helping their souls along the journey. Think about the friends of Christian and Pilgrim's Progress, right? The people who come alongside and help him on the way to the celestial city. So there's care for the souls of others that goes beyond just saying evangelism. And so we need to manage our resources by valuing those things that God values. Does your investment of your resources show that you value righteousness? Does it show that you value the long-term spiritual well-being of your family or just your own short-term pleasure? Does your resource management show that you value your neighbor? And specifically, that you have a concern not only for his temporal well-being, but also for his eternal well-being as well. What's your investment strategy? And how are you using those things that God has given to you? The encouragement then is very clearly that as we utilize our resources in a God-honoring way, we are then a blessing. We're a blessing, first of all, to the Lord. Once again, verse 20. Those who are the blameless in their ways are His delight. We're a blessing to God. We bless the Lord. And we show Him that we love Him, and He delights when we want to honor Him. We're a blessing to our families. We're a blessing to our posterity, to our offspring. We're a blessing to the world, to our neighbor who is in need. We're a blessing to the souls of other people. And not only that, but we're also, notice, a blessing to ourselves as well. One of the problems as we manage our resources is that we can think that we're going to come up empty. Right? There's always the question, who will take care of me when I take care of others? And verse 25 makes clear, he who waters will also be watered himself. The Lord's going to make sure that you don't go, you know, that your tank doesn't run dry spiritually ministering to other people. The Lord's going to provide water for you. And verse 28 as well. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. The Lord will provide water for you as well. And allow you to be, verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. So the Lord will give fruitfulness to you as you use your resources to bless others. Brothers and sisters, we have limited resources, limited opportunities, limited finances, limited energies, limited talents. But the Lord's blessed us with those things. He's redeemed you through Jesus Christ so that you can invest your resources in things that bring glory to Him. So may God use us to be a blessing to the world by His grace as we utilize the resources that He's entrusted to us. Let's pray. Lord, we acknowledge that we are a very wasteful people, that the landfill of waste that we produce by misusing things that you've entrusted to us is great. And Lord, we ask your forgiveness for that. Lord, we thank you that Christ has redeemed us from a wasted life, and that through Christ that we can in fact be a blessing to others. Lord, help us to use those things you've blessed us with in a way that would be pleasing to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.